This podcast is being recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We'd like to pay our respects to the elders past and present and acknowledge their ongoing connection to land, water and culture. Colonisation and genocide are ongoing processes that continue to this day, and this always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Hey, Zach here. Just a heads up that this episode is going to be an interview, and we recorded it over Skype, and the audio quality is not amazing, so sorry about that. But yeah, we really wanted to get this guest on the show, so I hope you enjoy the episode. Cheers. Hey, welcome to Auspol Snack Pod, the podcast where we bring you bite-sized chunks of Australian news and politics with a side of crispy memes. I am Zach Lesnack, and with me is
Noon, also known as Ino Funkenstein.
And for the second week in a row, we've got another very special guest. We've got Kira Janali, who is a noted shit poster. Do you want to tell us a bit about what you do, what your activism involves, and about your page?
I talk shit on the internet about stuff.
That pretty much fits the profile of most of our guests.
Yes, so you run a couple of meme pages. What are some of them that our viewers or listeners might know about?
Yeah, I run Beautiful, Talented, Deadly, and a couple other ones that are secrets.
Okay, sure.
Mysterious, shadowy shitposting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you are also involved heavily in Slut Walk, is that right?
Yes.
Excellent. Very cool. So we did want to talk, maybe we can get into a little bit later, about you've got Slutterween coming up.
Yeah.
It's like a fundraiser thing. Yeah, so we can maybe plug that at the end and try to get people to come along and stuff. But yeah, I'm just, I guess, interested to know how you first got into memeing and shitposting as a kind of like form of activism, or like, I mean, it's definitely political shitposting that you do. So how did you first kind of build this quite large Facebook page?
Sort of just started off like real small, and yeah, I don't know, it just sort of blew up by itself. Like, it was just something to do in my spare time, and then it just sort of grown into this giant monster like thing by itself. So
I remember I'd seen Beautiful, Talented, and Deadly, you know, months and months, you know, years ago probably, and then someone was like, you know, Kira's actually in Auspol shitposting, and I was like so excited that we had a celebrity shitposter from such a well-known page.
Yeah, well, like, I started it like a year and a bit ago, so it hasn't really been that long, so it's just sort of, yeah.
Still pretty young, yeah, right.
It's still a baby.
Do you have any, like, favorite memes that you've made?
The ones that I like the most are the ones that, like, no one else gets. And
totally,
they're just like,
yeah.
Why are you posting this to, like, a gazillion people? And it's really just an inside joke between me and my friends. Or, like, yeah, just
my
me and just someone
memes.
I know.
Yeah, my favorite kinds of memes are the ones I don't understand. Yeah.
Yeah, the ones that no one else gets but me and the other person, and then, like, everyone else is just like, what the fuck is this?
There was one here that I saw earlier today that I really liked, which is the We Are All Indigenous one, and with the little dialogue box being like, will you call the spirits? Yes/no. And making fun of, like, white people trying to claim indigeneity, or, you know, yeah. It's very aesthetic and also makes a real good point.
Yeah, that's sort of what I'm trying to do most of the time. It's just like, just be a bit of a shithead, but have a point behind it, but yeah. Mostly be a shithead.
You definitely bring some of the most terrifying memes to Auspol shitposting Facebook group. Like, you really, you give it that nightmarish
the
edge. Which,
George Christensen daddy one, that was a classic.
Yeah,
and just recently the Pauline Hanson milk related ones.
Which, yeah, R-rated NSFW. We like to swear on this podcast, but even we have our limits. Also, the Scott Morrison having a vor fetish for Colt. Man.
Yeah.
That one really fucked me up.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, why does he want Colt so bad? Like, that's the only explanation that I can come up with is it's a kink for him.
I love to imagine it in reverse as well. Like, he has fantasies about being eaten whole by a giant piece of coal. Maybe there's a meme in that for another time.
Probably.
So, obviously, Beautiful, Talented, Deadly does a lot of stuff about indigeneity and being black in white Australia and that sort of thing. But you're also very active about PCOS. So could you tell us what PCOS is and what your activism is about it?
Yeah, so PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's something that affects like 1 in 10 people with ovaries. And yeah, the sort of the conversation around it now is just like very, like on one, it's like very cis-normative, and it's also very focused around like babies and stuff, like infertility. But it's like it affects like people in the daily and that sort of thing. So it's like, yeah, the conversation around it needs to be more open and less cishet focused, which it is now.
Yep. And so is that what you're really trying to do in that space, sort of like queer the discourse a bit?
Yeah, and also decolonize it, because like everyone like focuses on, okay, like the thing, I can grow a beard, I'm an AFAB person that can grow a beard, and the thing is in our culture that was sort of like, if you're a feminine person with a beard, then you're considered like wise and that sort of stuff, like in the traditional sense. But now it's like considered, someone sees me with a beard and they instantly like assume I'm like dirty or something like that. And it's really just like, we got to change the perspectives of it and get people talking about like, I'm an Indigenous person and where? I'm from a hairy family. I'm just, yeah, I'm a hairy person, and that's the thing.
Yet another sphere where, like, settlers have kind of so much to learn, I guess, and that there's this, like, you know, there was this already existing, like, culture of acceptance and celebration that has been overridden is pretty fucked. So, yeah, I mean, sounds like really cool and interesting way to try and shift that conversation. And speaking about like queering the discourse, to borrow Noon's phrase, it's really cool to see as well an event like Slut Walk, which you're really involved in, is like is really, I don't see it as any as a cis normative thing either. I don't know much about the history of it as like an event or a movement, but I mean, I think these kind of large scale feminists. Events do have, some of them are at a risk of being kind of super cis normative and exclusive to
the pussy hat crew.
Yeah, the pink pussy hat, that and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's really exciting to see a shift away from that. I mean, do you think that that is part of a broader trend?
Well, I definitely hope so, because like you take a look at the International Women's Day March, that was run by like TERFs and SWERFs. Yeah, and like trans people and sex workers, we're all in the community and we matter too. And the thing is, like, they're using International Women's Day Melbourne NAM, so they've got our languages in the names and that sort of stuff. Like, they're forcing like a gender binary onto us, which is completely colonial.
Yeah, really...
So they're using our languages without, like, but without involving us.
Yeah, that's it's completely fucked and, like, really interesting, I guess, to look at the ways that something that our kind of progressive, supposedly progressive movements like feminism actually intersect really neatly with colonialism and the way that that actually is just another way of perpetuating that kind of violence and dispossession and oppression. I mean, Slotbook is huge. It started to get really huge. Do you think that the conversation around that is shifting in a positive direction? I mean, you say that the International Women's Day March is also, like, that's another obviously huge event. Would you say that you're still kind of, that feminism in Australia and I guess globally has a long way to go on this? Do you think that we're moving in the right direction?
I definitely hope so, just because, again, I'm new to, like, politics and stuff. Like, I was sort of in the outskirts of it, and then I didn't really jump into it until about 2 years ago. And this is, I've only been in Melbourne since December, so actively being a part of things since December. I'm still a baby, but...
I was just going to say, we mentioned Slutwalk a couple of times, but, yeah, could you maybe just tell us a bit about what it is, what it came from, and your role in it?
Well, it started in 2011 after a woman was assaulted, and then the police officer said, oh, she wouldn't have gotten raped if she wasn't dressed like a slut. And, it's sort of people policing our bodies and how we dress them and, like, just wanting to control what we do. And, we need to get away from that because clothes don't cause rape. Like, rapists cause rape.
Yep.
So, it's... Well, that's what that's about. Sorry. I'm like, I'm smart, I swear. No, not really. I'm an idiot.
It's all good. Totally don't stress about it.
My role in it is... Well, I hosted Trivia, and now I'm hosting Slutterween. I like to think that I am bringing a different sort of perspective as, like, an Indigenous AFAB person. I like to think that I'm bringing, like, a different perspective to what wasn't there before.
Totally. I'm sure you're, like, that's extremely valuable and...
Well, it sounds like what it's really needed from what you've said about what other mainstream feminist movements are doing at the moment.
Yeah.
So, can you tell us about Slutterween? What's going on? Where and when is it?
We'll be having burlesque acts. We'll be having, there's a circus act, a DJ, all of that stuff. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be at Globe Alley here in Melbourne on the 26th.
Amazing. And do people need to get tickets?
No, just... Come on in.
Amazing.
So that's going to be functioning as a fundraiser for the main Slut Walk event, which is happening in November sometime. Is that right?
November 16th.
Nice. Excellent. And so the main Slut Walk event, how would you describe it? So it's a march, and you've described how its kind of central theme is about fighting back against victim blaming and the idea of, like, revealing clothing being an invitation for assault. What does the march, like, normally feel like and look like?
This is my first one, so I don't know.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, first time I'm ever going in the... And, I'm actually doing a lot, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, you said you only got involved in political stuff, like, 2 years ago, but it sounds like you're really jumping in with both feet, which is awesome. Do you want to speak a little bit about what, inspired you to start getting involved?
Being involved in, like, the community and that sort of stuff, it's sort of... And, it feels like I'm name-dropping, but, my grandfather was Sir Douglas Nicholls, who started the... one of the people who helped start the... Indigenous Aboriginal Advancement League.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's like sort of in my blood. And my mum grew up marching and would go to the marches and stuff when I was a kid. And so, I was always involved in, like, Indigenous stuff. So now it's just getting involved in, like, being more broad with it and just blacking up what very white spaces, if I'm putting it bluntly, is just like...
Yeah, totally. And we appreciate you doing that here as well. We're like very aware that we're super white and super male. And yeah, it's we always value getting other perspectives on the show. So yeah, thanks for blacking up our podcast a little bit. I feel like maybe I shouldn't be the one using that term. But yeah.
Potentially not. So... Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit more about your memeing and like, so this podcast was born out of the Ozpol Shitposting Facebook group where, yeah, I mean, we came, it was a place to create memes and have a laugh about politics, but as you say, kind of do it with a point behind it. And I guess I'm interested to hear you speak a little bit more about how you see those pages kind of fitting into your activism more broadly. Because and this is a conversation that I've had with some other activists as well in the past, and kind of what we're trying to do here, I guess, with the podcast, is that so much political content, especially on the left, is so straight-faced and so dry. And one thing I really love about your pages is that, as you say, like they're politically driven, but they're also like, you know,
funny memes.
Yeah, funny memes. Exactly. So yeah, would you like to talk a little bit more about how that kind of fits in with the rest of what you're doing and kind of what that gives you as opposed to your involvement in something like Slutwalk, for example, which is a little bit more traditional, like feet on the ground activism.
Sort of make it more accessible and understandable, and like not everybody has the mental capacity to, or like the time or like any of the other things to be able to like read all the articles and know all of the things and just to like understand all of the points. Like, yeah, like there's like activist spaces can sometimes be a little bit gatekeepy. So that stops people from walking in, I think. Like, oh God, sorry.
No, I think that's like, you've hit the nail on the head, and you've said much more succinctly, I guess, what I was trying to get at, which is, yeah, that we need, exactly, not only can it be, like, tough to find the emotional and psychological energy and the time to actually be engaged with the news cycle, and I know that, like, I've had to read so much more news for this podcast, and it is fucking exhausting and makes me so sad. Please donate to us on Patreon. but like having a space like Ozpol Shitposting where you can come and like unload about it a little bit and like let off a little bit of steam, I think is also really good. But as you make that the really important point that leftist spaces can also be really kind of difficult to access, you know, if you're new to politics or if your politics aren't kind of maybe pure enough for the space that you want to enter, there's something really special about, yeah, creating these little bite-sized chunks that people can absorb, get something from, but also it not being so exhausting.
There was a meme that someone posted in the last couple of days that was like that, you know, Lisa Simpson standing in front of a blackboard meme that said something like, you can't just look at memes, at some point you have to read theory. But I feel like you were making exactly the other point that like a lot of people can't read theory either like practically or logistically or for a whole bunch of different reasons, and that looking at memes and creating memes is a really good way to let people access that information.
Well, also like another thing is like, again, I was born and raised in sort of doing activist stuff, like fighting for sort of things, like fighting, like my mum marched for land rights and all that sort of stuff. So like we're already, like a lot of the Indigenous community, like we're doing activism stuff from a very young age. So we already know, and it's like, and how we do it is a lot different to how a lot of space to do it. So, like, it's really... I actually spoke about this in the panel that I did for Trades Hall, which was Black Activism in White Spaces. And it's really... Yeah, like, mob, we already know. Mm. Like, we've been doing this. Like, yeah, we've been fighting the environmental fight and stuff like that since forever. Mm. So, yeah, like, and we're busy just trying to survive. Like, we don't have time to be reading shit that we already know and that we've already been practicing for fucking years.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's an excellent point, I think. I mean, about this, there is a certain, like, the way that leftist discourse is kind of made so academic is...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of unintuitive. Like, I don't know, why would you write something that, like, people who work, like, a 40, 50-hour week and, like, have to take care of a family as well... They'll never be able to get through, you know, a thick book of theory. Like, you know, we need other ways of communicating. And I think people can be harsh on shitposting as a method of, like, political communication. But I think it's really valuable as well. And, like, maybe you can't just post memes. Maybe you've got to do something else. But, like, I don't think that it should be so easily dismissed.
Yeah, I feel like, people just... stop with the gatekeeping and, just shut up, listen.
For sure. And I think it does tie into something that we've discussed a little bit on the podcast at other points about how little unity there is, I guess, on the left and in the progressive movement in general, that there's always, you know, it's kind of very easy to criticize. And I think that really goes hand in hand with making these inaccessible spaces and positioning being like a good leftist or whatever as this high benchmark where you have to have all, you know, the backup of all the theory and stuff. Like, I've never read Marx, you know what I mean? Like, I haven't even read a book about Marx. Noon's given me several and they're still sitting on my bedside table.
There was that's been a recent sort of like shitposting storm that I think it was the Indigenous Anarchist in so-called Australia page made some meme like, would white people please stop telling us to read Marx? We already know this shit, which was exactly the point that you were just making. But then in the comments is just like 50 white Marxists being like, but you should read Marx though. And it's like, wow, yeah, you really missed the point there, guys.
Oh, yeah, I was reading that before and it was just like, holy shit, like, what the fuck?
Like, way to prove the point.
Yeah, it's like, you're not really getting the point, are you, bud? We've already had a system in place and we've already been actively practicing that system and yet, yeah, tankies are wild.
Yeah, for sure.
True that.
Amen.
We're sort of coming to the end of our time. I wanted to ask if there are any other, like, Indigenous-run meme pages or, like, places where you'd suggest people follow and get good content from?
My brain just drew a blank. I know there's <That's> people... Well, if you follow my page long enough, you'll find some more because I share, like, from other people constantly.
For sure. And is there anything that you want to spruik? So, like, Facebook pages or events? We've already mentioned Slutterween. But, yeah, do you want to give us any others that people might want to check out?
I'll be doing a live show in February with the Aboriginals.
Hell yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Here in Melbourne. So... yeah, look forward to that in February.
That's amazing. It's gonna on my calendar right now.
Yeah, fuck yeah. And yeah, shout out Aboriginals podcast. Everybody go and check that out. I think they've got some kind of special horror themed, like, choose your own adventure narrative thing going on at the moment on there, which is really cool. They're doing some really interesting stuff. So yeah, check them out.
Oh yeah, they put more work into anything than I do.
Yeah, and more than we do, definitely.
Way
yeah,
more.
Yeah.
Yep. yeah, they're definitely one of the best like independent Australian podcasts out at the moment. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for giving us your time and coming on the show and telling us a bit about yourself. Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Coolio.
Excellent. So yeah, everybody definitely put Slutterween in your calendars if you're in Melbourne, Nam, and put Slutwalk in your calendar as well.
And go hop on Beautiful, Talented, and Deadly, smash that like button, and check out all the delicious memes.
Subscribe.
Okay.
Thanks, Kira.
Thanks, Kira.
Bye.
Bye. Cool. We hope you enjoyed listening to that conversation with Kira Janali. It was a lot of fun to do, and we've been wanting to get Kira on for a while, so that was sweet. And we just wanted to say thank you all for listening, and if you want to support the show, you can do that by hopping on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and giving us a rating and a review.
It helps us out a lot.
Plus, it gives us nice warm feels when people give us nice reviews. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a new fresh one here from Deckhoff. Zach, you want to read that out?
Yeah, it's titled Fresh Takes of Snacky News, 5 stars. Really well-researched and refreshing understanding of the current political landscape. Love this podcast.
Thanks, Deck.
That's extremely That's sweet.
And optimistic to say it's well-researched.
Yeah.
it's nice generous. That it comes across that way.
Generous. Yeah. Generous. Thank you, Deck. Yes, and also please sign up to our Patreon if you're liking the show, want to help us keep it going. Signing up for $1 a month.
US dollars, not Australian dollars.
It's US dollars. $1 a month gets you a monthly bonus episode, and you also get access to our private Discord server where we talk shit, but in text form.
And at slightly more length, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, cool. So thanks for tuning in. See you next time. Keep on snacking in the free world.
Crunch, crunch.